When I stepped out into the bright sunlight from the darkness of the podcast house, I had only two things on my mind: Jason Schmidt and a new episode of Drama. Hey, y'all, it's Dylan. Had to do a little outsider's quote there with my own personal twist. This is the last episode before the Tony Awards, so what better way than to celebrate with one of Connor and I's favorite shows from this Broadway season? We're absolutely obsessed with the Outsiders musical, and I have a feeling if you're listening to this podcast, you are too. And we're so lucky to be chatting with Jason Schmidt today. You know him from Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies, and of course, being Soda Pop Curtis in The Outsiders. We have so much fun with him today talking about the show, his career, his journey, his music. You will love him just as much as we do, no doubt. And of course, if you're loving the pod as we enter this exciting summertime, please give us a 5-star rating, a review on whatever podcast app you listen to. And if you're feeling extra generous, check out our Instagram close friends. With the Tonys coming up, we're going to be having tons of behind the scenes close friends content, which is one of the perks of paying $5 a month to be part of patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where you'll also get 2 extra bonus episodes a month. We have so much fun stuff in store for you this summer. But for now, enjoy Jason Schmidt and enjoy this episode of Drama. On with the show.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey. Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Dylan, I'm having a jarring experience because we literally never record from your home.
I know.
In Columbus, but here we are.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. It's fun.
I know. Well, I'm here for a special reason. Shout out to Mary DiGeronimo, full name doxing on the pod.
Yeah.
Her 30th birthday is this weekend, and we're going to the Kentucky Derby.
Yes, which if anyone would ever have thought that you and I would be seen dead or alive at the Kentucky Derby is beyond me, but I think it's going to be really fun.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I feel like, well we're going to do a little party bus situation to get us from Columbus to the Derby. There's like approximately 30 people on it.
That's insane.
This is like the
pretty crazy.
This is the before image. Like, I yeah. truly have no yeah, idea yeah. like what war-torn, like, I'm going to look like the boys in The Outsiders post- The what do
the
they
big
call it?
Rumble or whatever.
Do they call it the Rumble or is that like West Side Story vibes?
Yeah,
it is.
We're getting confirmation from the producers.
Okay.
It is the Rumble. Yeah, it's like a president before and after their terms.
But
you know?
I'm worried. I mean, can I still hang like I could? Like,
we'll find out. We will find out. I think that by the end we'll probably sleep the whole way home because it's just a day trip. So
yeah. I'm excited about my fit. You know, the boys wear and the girls wear like cute stuff,
yeah.
but the boys wear mismatched.
It's like it's very fraternity Vineyard Vines.
It's Bravo Southern Charm early seasons, like whatever Craig Conover was wearing.
Okay.
Which yep. you've never seen.
Never seen. Not really interested in seeing, but I like him on Summer House. Anyways.
I've also never had a mint julep, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know anything about those.
What's a julep?
I don't know, but we'll have them.
I'm not a mint guy. Okay. But anyway.
Actually, you know what I love about the Derby is it's featured in Peaky Blinders, but in a different way.
Wait, go
the
on.
The Derby. Because Tommy does like the betting and the horses.
Oh, of course.
Kind of yeah.
Wow.
But this
wow,
is the
wow,
American
wow.
version, so.
I know, I'm excited, but Dylan, oh my God.
Yeah, you mentioned The Outsiders.
I mentioned it. I'm stoked. I feel very Outsiders-pilled by all the research I've been doing.
I know.
And, you know, that we always do. You know,
we got the chance to see it.
And obsessed.
I'm
Does
just
not
gonna
begin.
Say it. I don't want to offend any other podcast guests that we've had from new shows this season or anything, but it's my favorite musical of the season.
Yeah.
100%. It
yeah.
is unreal. The minute that it started and you hear that music and it's perfect.
I know. And we will get into it because we've
mm-hmm.
got one of the stars today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna do the bio
yeah,
that you
bring
wrote.
Him in
I'm
gonna
bring
and
him
let's
in.
Get to chatting.
Okay. So y'all, our guest today is currently making his smashing Broadway debut as Soda Pop Curtis in the 12-time Tony-nominated musical, The Outsiders. He previously played this often shirtless greaser at the La Jolla Playhouse engagement, as well as appeared as the prince in Cinderella and Houston's Theater Under the Stars. On television, he played fan favorite Buddy, another greaser, in Grease, Rise of the Pink Ladies on Paramount Plus, formerly on Paramount Plus. It's missing now forever. And has also appeared in FBI Most Wanted and The Chair. This star is also a singer-songwriter with multiple EPs available to stream, including Intrusive Thoughts, Meet Me at Midnight, and the single My Ego Loves You. All streaming now. He's a triple threat who studied at Carnegie Mellon University, and we're psyched to have him on the pod today. Please welcome to Drama,
Jason Schmidt.
What's up? Okay, I have one thing that I do have to say. Buddy was actually a soch. in Grease Rising Young Lady.
He was
This is crazy.
associate.
Yeah. He was like the preppy student president character. So it's a transition we made.
You've been on both sides of the tracks now.
Absolutely.
You know, I wanted to watch Rise of the Pink Ladies, but Paramount Plus stripped it from the platform before, like, truly anyone could, an audience could build. That was crazy. We actually had a writer from the show on our
Yeah, do you
podcast.
know Felicia Pearl Posse? She was here on
Yeah.
stage.
Oh, she's so
Yeah.
lovely. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. And she told us all about, like, writing it and that whole process and stuff. And we did tell her that we were chatting with you, and she said to send her love. So,
Right back at her. I love her.
but okay, wait. So you were like, what's the character that Kevin, what's his name? Kevin William Paul or
Bob.
Paul? Yeah, Bob.
Bob Sheldon. Yeah, it's a similar thing, but obviously in Outsiders, it's much more gruesome and like real, I guess, in a way, in terms of he was like a big bully. Buddy was not always a great guy, but he was had good intentions. Like he was supposed to be nice, and then he kind of made mistakes and put people in bad situations kind of on accident, you know, that type of a thing. Not understanding what he was doing exactly. But yes, he was the kind of antagonist for a lot of the points of the season.
That's probably was fun to play. I'm sad that it's gone. You know, Paramount Plus did that whole thing where they kind of just removed a bunch of stuff. I think it'll come around again in some way. I hope so.
I really hope it'll find a home somewhere. And I know there's still places. I know Amazon, you can buy episodes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there's some places you can purchase, but hopefully it'll find a full streaming home at some point.
I hope so too. I
Totally.
know Felicia told us they wrote the whole season two as well,
I
but.
know. I got really excited about some of the plot lines for the next season, but yeah.
Damn.
What were you hoping for your character to do in season two?
Well, the whole fun part about playing Buddy was that he had this kind of arc in the first season where you saw him as this jerk and as this guy who didn't understand what he was doing. He had a lot of privilege that he lived with that he didn't see that others didn't experience. And then the fun part of it was he had this fall during the first season where he started realizing these things, started realizing the consequences of his actions, how like he actually had a lot of power and the way he was using it was not beneficial to the people he loved in the school. And then the end of season one finds him like in a really dark place where he has realized all of this. And then season two is going to kind of be this upswing where he's like trying to fight back against those things and become a person he's proud to be and kind of steps into a little bit more of a comedic role within that. Because the first season was pretty like it's Grease, you know, so most of it's funny, but a lot of my plot lines were like dark, pretty dark stuff in terms of what a high schooler is dealing with. So I was excited about that, and I was excited about the redemption arc, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I can share too much about what the specific plot lines were, but yeah, it was gonna be fun.
Oh, maybe this is like too in the weeds here, but did they have you like on hold while they were writing season two? Like, was there ever a possibility that you might not be able to do Outsiders?
There was honestly, this is not anything solidified, but like post La Jolla Outsiders, I kind of said goodbye to it in a way because
Oh.
I thought at the time we were getting a lot of like they're writing season two, you know, I think we're gonna get picked up for the second season. And so I did say goodbye to the show and I knew there was a possibility it would come around again, but I didn't know if that was gonna be the reality of it. So there was moments where I thought that Grease season two would be happening right now and Outsiders would because I was already in a contract with them, so it wouldn't have
Yeah.
been any choice or anything. It would have been just me taking the second season.
Wow, in a multiverse, there's a season two, you're not in Outsiders. I can't even imagine it. Like I mentioned, Connor and I absolutely loved the Outsiders musical that's now on Broadway. We want to talk to you all about it. And we're also really grateful that you're doing this with us on a Friday morning. It's the week of the Tony nominations. You guys have had a huge week. Congrats to you.
Thank you so much. It's been crazy, and the audience reaction continues to kind of build the seat at the stage door. It's a really beautiful experience, and so thankful to all the people coming and seeing it and enjoying it and investing their time and putting nice things out or hats or you know little bracelets and stuff. It's so kind.
Yeah, wait, okay, so you told us about the hat that you're wearing before we started recording. I know this is famously an audio format, so listeners won't be able to see it, but can you describe the hat that was given to you by a fan?
Okay, close your eyes and picture a normal navy blue hat. Now, in the middle of the navy blue hat is the DX symbol painted, like hand painted, I'm pretty sure, by a fan. And then on the bottom it says Soda Pop Curtis. It's super cute. I've been wearing it all the time.
It's
Oh.
awesome. It's great. And I just noticed, do you have a Soda Pop tattoo?
Yes, I do. Yeah. That was part of after La Jolla, I got this and in remembrance of it, kind of. Also,
Yeah.
the role is just it impacts me in such a beautiful way because he's a beautiful human being and he lives life with such reckless abandon. And I love that. And it's something at the time that I was definitely like, this, I could use a little bit more of this in my life. So had to get something to commemorate the time.
Aww.
I think we're all gonna have one by the end. My sister is a tattoo artist, as I was saying, and she Sky, who plays Johnny, just got one on his shoulder, and Tilly, who plays Ace, has one on her wrist, and I know Brent wants one, and Daryl Tofa wants one and stuff. So
Are they all character specific?
yeah.
Okay.
Johnny, his Sky has like Johnny, a heart and a knife, Johnny. Yeah, it's
Cute.
cute.
What would Brent get for Daryl? I'm trying to think, like, what could
I
be
think
a
he's just getting dairy,
Oh, cute.
like a classic like buff man on his
Yeah.
shoulder.
Not
Yeah,
the platter of green beans or whatever it is in the
I might get that.
I was hungry watching that scene. Well, for a lot
Yeah.
of the show, hungry, but especially in the last scene, was hungry. What is that food that you eat at the end?
It's green beans, I think microwavable, and this like vegan rice.
Oh.
I always say that if I ordered it at a restaurant, I would be disappointed. But at the end of the show, it is tasty. And
Yeah.
most nights, Brent and I are looking forward to that rice at the end.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
know,
Free
you get
dinner.
through the rumble, you get rained on, but your reward is you get a little bit of rice.
Yeah, there you go. You guys don't shower after the rumble, right?
No, I mean not until after the show,
After,
but yeah,
yeah.
it's kind of a shower in itself. We lather ourselves up with soap before we go on. No, I'm just kidding.
It's really
Yeah.
slippery. It's real slippery out there. I feel like I'm getting into like
Yeah.
the nitty-gritty of some of my questions about the show, but before we get fully into the outsiders, we've already jumped around a lot, but we like to check in with our guests. And Jason, I'm wondering, are you well?
I am well. I'm very happy, honestly. It's been a this is my first this is my Broadway debut, so kind of realizing what the schedule actually looks like, and it is really busy and taxing, like I'm sure you've heard and I have heard a bunch of times, and so I am very tired, but I am so happy. Like I've always wanted to create a role, but especially in a show that I like really care about and believe in the story of and the messages within, like that's the ultimate kind of gift for me. Like I got into theater originally, which I think we're gonna get into later, based on like how it can affect people, and I wanted to be a part of something that has an effect on people, makes them think about life in a different way, so on and so forth. And I believe that this show does that in a really big way. And I love the way it tackles masculinity and family and makes you look at everyone on the stage, not just the greasers, but and have some type of heart towards them, because this kind of radical empathy or compassion, I think, is so important, especially in the divisive world that we live in today, you know? So yes, I'm very happy. I love New York. I've only been out here since January, but I love the city. I've lived all over the place in the last like 3 years, so it's nice to kind of settle down into one place. And I love the people out here. All my friends from college are out here, and I love my cast that I get to do the show with. So I'm feeling very blessed. Yeah.
It's exciting too I mean, when we were there and saw the Outsiders afterwards, we were out on the streets, taking a selfie with the marquee, and the crowd that had gathered around the stage door was insane. And I was like, this show literally just opened and it already has this wild, rabid fan base. What has that been like on the receiving end of that?
It's been so cool. I mean, I think we all expected that it could have that type of crowd impact, but it did happen very quickly, and it's continued to like build and build. It's been funny to see how they've started to rearrange like the barricades that they
Oh.
have where we sign behind. Because at first it was this little small alleyway that we could walk through and the people on both sides, and it's slowly grown to this kind of complex, a lot of different angles going on out into the street, and because more and more people are coming, and it's gotten louder and the energy is crazier, the screams, the I think one of the producers said it's kind of like the Beatles effect, but for musical theater.
Totally.
It's been wild and it's been super fun, and the fans are all so kind and sweet and are loving the story, and that's so special.
I know it is. It's like One Direction fever, Beatles fever. Like it's so crazy. Like
Or
Newsies, not since Newsies. Do you, I'm sure you guys get crazy DMs from the fans, and not just from me, but also from like the young gals and gays. So, who do you think gets the craziest DMs of all of you?
I took a side, but I knew the answer right away. It is me. I'm pretty sure
Yeah, it's
it's
you. Probably because you're shirtless in the show.
It is just like we went to Tulsa before we started the rehearsal process, and we like had a week there, did a bunch of press stuff, but also like saw the city. We went two-stepping,
Oh my
we
gosh.
all this stuff. It was so fun. Big props to Tulsa. This is a beautiful city. And I realized there what an impact the character of Soda Pop had from the people who like took in the story. Like there were multiple points where either at the school or two-stepping, where when people found out we were the cast, they wanted to know who was playing Soda Pop. Who's Soda? Oh, I love Soda. Soda's the best character, you know? And so there was already coming into it this like, oh, this character is so beloved. And then, yes, I'm shirtless and the show's beautiful. And so I do think that's where it comes from, but it is, yeah, it is funny. I'm sure other people have gotten some crazy ones, but I do know I think I'm the one who talks about it the most,
There
at
you go.
least.
I feel like you're also active on social. Are you like the social captain for the show or something?
Yeah, we have a few different people who like capture some content for us. Jordan Chin, one of our swings, who swings for 2Bit and Steve, also does stuff. I know Bart Copperwaite has done stuff as well, and I think it's kind of divvied out as well. But yeah, I've done a lot for the social media and enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
Super
so
fun.
fun. Wait, I love that video. I don't know if it was on your TikTok or if it was on the Outsiders TikTok of the boys dancing to your song.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was, I think I did post it, but it was initially on the Outsiders.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Whoever's up front center is eating the choreography.
Daryl Telfa.
He's
Daryl
amazing. Eating down the choreo. It's so good. It's so good.
So sweet of you to do that too. It was so
I
kind.
know. I know. We'll talk about your music and stuff down the line too, but. So wait, I've got to ask, Angelina Jolie, any interaction yet? She's producing the show. Did you get to see her at least opening night?
Yeah, we've actually, she was very present during the process. She didn't, there wasn't a lot of like, I know I'm sure most of her feedback went like through the producers and director, and we got to chat with her about the show a little bit and what she thought, but she was there all the time, especially during tech and previews, and Viv, her daughter, who's one of the producing partners as well,
Oh.
was there all the time. So we got to, yeah, see if we could get her to share any wisdom and stuff like that. She also dressed me for the opening. It was
Excuse me?
all Jolie stuff, and yeah, she was very kind about that. It was so fun.
Oh my God, how cool. Were you like a big fan of her, or is she like a little before your time, kind of?
I mean, she's in everything.
Yeah.
Like she was a little bit before my time in terms of like young Angelina Jolie coming up and becoming a star, because
Yeah.
like by the time I was present, you know, and watching movies, she was already was Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
So it was just like a big, huge name that was in, but she was still in everything. Or like, I know that Daryl Tofa, when he met her for the first time, I think told her that he really loved Shark Tales, like because she's the fish in
Yeah.
Shark Tales.
Yeah.
But it's little things like that too, where like once you're that big name, you get, you know, these animated movies that you talk in and stuff like that. And honestly, Shark Tales may have been the first like Angelina Jolie movie that I did see,
Yeah.
because I didn't realize it because it's just a fish. But
But then you kind of look at the fish a little bit and you're like, oh, they kind of made the lips and stuff like that similar to her, you know?
definitely is Angelina Jolie coded, if you will.
Yes, very much. Jolie coded for sure. Is it true that she got involved with producing because her daughter saw the show at La Jolla? Is that how the story
Believe
goes?
so. Yeah.
Okay.
I think her daughter saw it multiple times with friends and stuff in La Jolla, and ended up bringing her along to see the show because she was passionate about it. And then I think she reached out to the producers right after that. There was a show where Kevin, who plays Bob, came backstage and he's like, "Hey guys, I heard Angelina Jolie's in the audience." And we were all like, "Whatever, Kevin, shut up." I was just, nah, man. And sure enough, we bullied Kevin and he was right.
Do you like to know when there's celebs in the audience?
I do, yeah. It's interesting. Brent and I talk about this a lot. We spend a bunch of time backstage together. And I think he likes not to know. And I like to know because it gives me an initial like fire to, you know, somebody to kind of amp myself up to perform to. Because sometimes when it's just like a night of nameless faces, it can be, you're doing 8 shows a week. So the exhaustion can get to you. But knowing that there's like this person or family or friends, whoever it may be that I know out there helps me get up for it. And then there's the reverse side of, then you have to like drop that from your mind completely, because Brent doesn't like it because he feels like he's thinking about what that person or like even family is thinking the whole time he's performing, and it's not as pleasant. And I feel the same way. There's definitely been shows where I've been like, this person's in the audience, let's get it. And then I say a line, I'm like, I wonder what that person thinks. I said that line, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's so fair. Yeah, I worked at 54 Below for many, many years up until the pandemic on like the marketing and social media team. And one time we were doing a show and Lin-Manuel Miranda was there. Mm-hmm. And I was like there to film and I was talking to another colleague. I was like, I can't believe that Lin is here. And one of the people who was in the show turned around and was like, I didn't want to know that. Like, why would you say that? And ever since then, I've been like, okay, like, I guess there's, you don't talk about reviews and you don't talk about who's in the audience because you never know what the performer's aspect is going to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely, I think in our cast, we all say it. And if you want to avoid it, you got to close your ears.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of boys backstage, you know? It's like.
Yeah, yeah. There was one show, Matt Dillon came, and that when Kevin flashes the flashlight across the audience, we can kind of see the faces, and we get off stage and Brent goes, Matt Dillon's in the audience. And I go, how do you know? And he goes, I saw him in the back sitting next to Angelina. I saw him all the way in the back. He's like, if it's true, I have the eyes of an eagle. It was true. It's crazy. He caught him as
one. Oh my God. He's got an eye for it. That's so funny. Yeah.
Wasn't Rob Lowe Soda in the movie?
Yes. Yeah.
Has he come in any way?
I don't think so. Not yet. Okay. I've heard that a lot of them have the original movie have plans to come, but I have not met Rob Lowe. Although I heard the other day that in an interview, they were asking him about the musical and he said he was excited to come see it and excited to meet the guy playing Soda Pop. And I was like, I would reach out, man. I would love to meet you, you know?
Yeah, totally.
That photo would break the internet, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you know what I'm dreaming about right now is who, like, I mean, obviously Angelina might be available to be at the Tonys, but like what celeb or person with a connection to the Outsiders will introduce your performance? Ooh, you know how they always try and find someone who has like a tie
probably
to it?
Angelina.
Or any of the guys that were in the movie, you know? Yeah. What is your relationship to the source material, the book, the movie? We never had to read it in school, so mm-hmm. It kind of was not on our radar, but what about for you?
Yeah, so I was homeschooled until high school by my dad and my mom. So I didn't have like the traditional like middle school reading list, but dad is a big book lover and read a lot of books to me and my, I have three older sisters, read a lot of books to me and my older sisters throughout our schooling, and Outsiders was one of the first books that I remember him reading to us, which is so special. And it's cool because I remember a lot of the pictures that came to my head as he was reading about the characters or the environments. And I think the musical does a beautiful job of kind of bringing that like childhood imagination into it. Like I remember when the Sochas are introduced, the way I pictured it in my head, all these like massive guys and like they were scary and confident and enjoying themselves through the process of it. And the musical does such a beautiful job at reflecting that, like when they all come out and they just look like these huge figures, and it's very cool. Yeah,
that is so cool.
And then the movie was my mom's favorite movie, and so I watched that a bunch. She had a huge crush on Matt Dillon, which I got to tell him, and all he said was, ah, stop it.
He didn't say, oh, is she here right now? You know. Yeah.
I feel like this was like meant to be. I love all of those connections. That's so cool. Yeah. Okay. We've danced around this a little bit, and you mentioned that we were going to get to it later, but we also ask all of our guests about the thing that got them into the arts. We borrow Ring of Keys from the musical Fun Home. Could be something you were watching, participating in. You were sitting in the backseat of your mom's car, and you heard a song, and you're like, oh my God, I want to be a singer. Like Sabrina Carpenter sings on Espresso, I'm working late because I'm a singer.
Have you heard the song, Jason?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah. I made a little TikTok with it.
Oh, you did? Okay, I need to see it. Oh my God. That's so fun.
I think the sound got taken down, but I did make one.
Oh, maybe because TikTok has been having issues with the Universal Music Group
Music
scenario.
biz,
Yeah,
yeah.
but they're going to be restoring it. I just read. So all of
Oh,
Ariana
look.
Grande's fans were like tweeting about how excited they were to,
That's so funny. Yeah, this is great.
I love it. But anyway, do you feel like you had a moment that got you into the arts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, growing up, my grandma was a piano teacher, my grandma on my dad's side. And so me and all my cousins took piano, and I loved that. I hated practicing. I wish I liked it more because I would love to be a proficient. Like, I have a cousin who did the work and, like, throughout the years practiced, and
Yeah.
he's like an amazing pianist now, of
Oh.
course. And I am okay, because I didn't really practice and quit and took it back up and things like that. That was huge. My aunt on that side loves theater too, so we did little things in her basement. But the big section of it is I started doing this community theater in Chicago around 9 because my oldest sister did it, and it just looked like fun, and she made friends, and so I did that all the way up until like 14,
Yeah.
just for fun. And about the time going into high school, I wanted to quit doing acting, theater, singing because honestly, a lot of it was because of getting made fun of for it. And it was a lot of time spent. And I played basketball and I wanted to pursue that as my, like, kind of college thing that I was going to do and then get whatever degree I was going to get. And
Very Troy Bolton.
yeah,
Very
very,
Troy
very.
Bolton. Yeah.
And around that time that I told my mom I was going to quit, the community theater I did announced they were doing three shows. They do three shows a year. And the first one in the fall was Les Mis. My mom loves Les Mis. And she said that I should do one more show and then I could quit. And I said, no, I'm going to quit. And then she said, well, I'm your mother. You'd have no choice. And I was like, well, I have to argue with that. So I did the show.
She said one show more.
Yeah.
Oh, Dylan, you're so stupid.
Oh,
We're gonna cut
yes.
that. Anyway, that's cute.
And within the show, there was the assistant director of the show was my future mentor and acting coach, and is still a mentor and a dear friend of mine. Came to see it a few weeks ago, Outsiders, and
Oh, great.
which was a beautiful experience. But he was the assistant director, and kind of throughout it, as well as the other 10, 15 people in the show that ended up going into some type of career in theater, showed me like what it actually was to like be an actor and an artist. And it had been so fun up until that point, but that was all it was. I came, I did it for fun, and I love my friends. And through Les Mis and the wonderful cast we had, he was able to be like, and if you're interested, it could also be more than just fun and like can be impactful, and we can tell a beautiful story that will affect people. And while it was just like a 8 to 18 production of Les Mis, we had a great cast, and it did end up kind of reaching the families and friends that came and saw it, and in a way that like people would come up to us emotional afterwards and telling us how much this part meant to them or how this part made them think about their uncle differently or things like that. And I was like, whoa,
Yeah.
this is really special what this art form can do if done right, and invested in. And from there, I switched on a dime in those like 3 months and went and told my mom that I wanted to do it for the rest of my life.
Oh my
Wow,
God.
thank goodness.
That gives me chills. What part did you play?
I played Marius.
I
Marius.
had a feeling.
Marius. Marius.
Marius, yeah.
Marius,
Yeah,
Marius,
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 yeah.
Marius. Wait, that's such a fun story. I love how it really just goes to show how an important mentor or teacher or figure can really just give you that little nudge that pushes you into it.
His name is Matt Seiler. Yeah, he still
Matt
works in
Seiler.
Chicago as a director, stage manager. He's brilliant.
Oh.
That's amazing. And then you ended up at Carnegie Mellon. Were you able to finish?
I didn't finish. No,
Okay.
I left
You're a
halfway
dropout.
through. Yeah. I know. My parents will never be happy with me. I dropped out halfway through my junior year to do Grease.
Okay.
Wow.
Interesting. How did Greece come into your life?
I did this program, Link, which was, I don't know how to explain it exactly. It's a winter break program that a bunch of people from different colleges audition for and are selected for. You have to be nominated by somebody who went there. And I was nominated by Jacob Simon, who I did like the pre-Jimmy's thing with in Chicago.
Oh.
And didn't really know the guy. Very kind of him to nominate me for it. Auditioned for it, did it. And then coincidentally, Brody, who plays Pony Boy, that I met him there as well. And
Oh.
Brent, who plays my older brother, did like the first year of it and met a bunch of very talented people. It was a great time. But I got an agent through there and then started taping with them throughout the next kind of, that was the winter break of my sophomore year. So I had one more semester of sophomore year. And then right when I started my junior year was when the tape for Grease came in and the process for auditioning for it started to come.
Oh, fun. Do you feel like you still had like a good amount of a college experience while you were
Yeah.
there? Yeah.
Yeah. COVID hit at the end of my freshman year. So it was
Wow.
like, there was a lot. Yeah. A lot of not being in college. Well, actually really being in college, but the first freshman year was lovely. And I mean, still most of my best friends are from that school and a lot of people I love super dearly. And the training was incredible.
And now you're in like this fraternity, basically, of the outsiders. I mean, it is crazy. What is the dynamic like backstage?
We have the most fun ever. I love that group of people so much. I think it's a testament to the producing and creative team, and especially Danya's ability, our director, Danya, her ability to find people who are incredibly talented, like truly incredibly talented, and not just in like everyone's perfect for their role, but everyone has all these auxiliary talents that remarkably talented human beings. But on top of that, like really good people and such a talent. And then what when we get into the room, the talent of building the space as like a community and not just like doing the job and making the show, but building a family, which then actually does the job and tells the story. I love them so much. A lot of people ask us if it's real, like, do you guys really like each other like that? And it really is. Like, there's not a single person in the cast that I wouldn't like get a full hours long dinner with, you know, and just like have a great chat with. Love them so much.
That's really nice. Is the cast mostly the same as it was at La Jolla?
No, I would say it's maybe about three quarters to half of the people who are in La Jolla are here too, but there was a decent changeover.
And a lot changed about the show. Everyone says that the show got so much better. There was a lot of changes made between La Jolla and Broadway. What would you say like the biggest differences between the productions?
It's interesting because like big note wise, I don't think there was not a lot of huge changes. Like there was a little song cut. It was a shorter song at the beginning of the show. But other than that, there wasn't like big scene cuts or song cuts. It was a lot of little things that slowly made the show feel a lot different. But one of the bigger ones is we got a lot in La Jolla that the Rumble was kind of in a show of its own. It was its own thing. And
Oh.
reflecting that against the rest of the violence in the show, in La Jolla, it was very raw and real, and kind of like, how uncomfortable can we make it? Can we make you with how real it is? And then here, they kind of saw that and were like, well, what if we weave the Rumble's kind of language of violence through the rest of the violence? And so the kind of slow motion, the sounds, the stabbing scene, and the way that's done,
Yeah.
I think that was a huge change and is so effective. And I mean, I remember the first few times watching in the rehearsal room being like, whoa, this is going to be one of the coolest things anyone's seen on a stage. Like, it's just,
And it
it
is.
is
It
so
really is.
cool. Like, it is so, I'm not a part of it at all. Like, it's so cool, you know? Oh, yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So, okay, wait. When did you get involved with Outsiders?
I got involved in La Jolla, was the first time I was involved with it. I had auditioned at the very tail end of filming Grease in Vancouver. I got the tape for Outsiders. And initially it was for Bob, Kevin's role.
Very buddy
Yeah.
vibes.
Yeah. And honestly, I was excited about it because, like I said, Buddy's kind of this good guy, or he's supposed to be, he's trying to be. And so playing Bob was kind of fun for a tape, at least, because it was, this guy's not trying to be a good guy. He's just like in a similar reckless abandon to Soda, but it comes out
Yeah.
and people around him experience it in a very different way. You know, Brody was playing Soda Pop, and there was another guy playing Pony, and he took something else. Brody moved over to Pony. But when I got the tape for Bob, I asked my agents, I was like, is there a place open for one of the greasers? I would love to play, like, I love the book. I would love to play one of the greasers in it. And he was like, no, they're all filled. And yeah, Brody switched over to Pony, and I got to audition for Soda, and the rest is history and tattooed on my arm.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
I love that Soda's Letter song that you guys already have out on
Yeah,
streaming.
that's
Your
so good.
voice is stunning.
Thank you so much.
It's
Thank you.
so good.
It's a beautiful song. I love it. I base the kind of delivery off of, like, do you know who Jim Croce is?
I don't
Like
know.
Time in a Bottle. or
Oh, yeah.
very like acoustic guitar, folky singer. But he has a few songs that I feel in the similar vein. And so I always think about him when I stylize it.
Yeah, for sure. What's your favorite song that you do get to sing in the show?
They're all good. They're all so good. I think Throwing in the Towel, I really love it. And I love singing it with Brent every night. Yeah, there's something about it. Like, I remember hearing it for the first time and just being like moved. I just think it's beautiful. I'm excited for the album to be out, I think May 22nd, so people can listen to whatever they want.
Can't come soon enough.
Yeah.
What other sort of like theater pieces are you into? Like, I guess, Outsiders is so specific with its like folk vibe. But if you could be in another Broadway show, what would your top choices be?
Oh man. I really want to like create a lot of roles, I there's a, so much theater that I love and would love to join and walk in the shoes that a lot of people have, but my main goal would be to continue to create. That's the part of the process that like really speaks to me. Behind you have Once,
Oh, yes.
which is one that I would love to do someday. I play guitar and write songs as well and
Yeah.
love that music. Kind of similar, I guess, in the kind of folky genre. I really wanted to do Newsies for the longest time.
You still could. You still look young.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
I could see you as Gabe in Next to Normal.
Yes. Love
Ooh.
that. That would be so much fun. I love the rockier vibe too. So like Next to Normal, Jesus Christ Superstar, I think would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
Did Spring Awakening ever cross your orbit during your years of doing theater?
It never did. I would, I mean, like I've seen it. Love the music. It's a great show. Would love to be in it. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned you like creating stuff, and you obviously have written so much music. When did that start? Were you writing when you were back in high school or sooner?
Yeah, I started writing a little bit in high school, but in high school I never finished anything. Like it was always, I would have this idea, I'd write a verse, I'd write a chorus, and I'd be like, and I can't think of anything else. On to the next. When I got to college, my freshman year, my future college roommate Andy LeBoon, he was releasing his first rap album.
Oh.
And I was so kind of blown away by the ability to re like at this point in your life, you're releasing an album. That's crazy. And we talked about it, and I told him I wanted to be a writer and kind of told him I hadn't ever finished anything. And he goes, "Well, you just got to finish something." And I'm like, "What if I don't like it?" He goes, "You're not going to. This is your first thing. You're not gonna, it's not gonna be great. Finish that, move on to the next one." Okay, so I went and sat down at the piano and I finished one, finally finished one, and I didn't like it. And then I wrote another one, and it slowly just snowballed into this thing that I did all the time. And slowly but surely, I started writing things that I was really proud of. And it's even interesting because part of that kind of finish it and move on mentality, and that it doesn't mean like shorthanding the song at all, but just like not restricting yourself to needing it to be perfect, and part of that came from when I had written, kind of 15 songs. He goes, "Well, now you got to release some." And I was like, "Well, I don't know. I don't know if I feel ready. I don't know if they're good enough." And he goes, "Well, they're probably not, but really release them." That's where Mimi at Midnight came from, and some of those songs I'm still incredibly proud of. And
And
then,
you were saying that before Taylor said. I just have to say, you had it before Taylor's song, where she says, "Meet me
Mimi
at
at Midnight.
midnight." Yes,
Yeah,
true.
he stole. I mean, I'm getting the residuals from it, so it's okay.
Good. Okay, good,
I'm gonna feed me and my family for the rest of my life.
good.
But and then the next one came around, and it was I had written 10, 15 more, and he was like, "You got to release more." And now I'm at the place where most of I feel like my best stuff is all kind of in the vaults, waiting for time to record and then producers to work with and stuff like that. Ecstatic about the future of my music, and we'll be hopefully releasing another single within the next 3, 4 months, and hopefully an EP in the fall. And yeah.
I love to hear it. My Ego Loves You is really great. I love
Thank
it.
you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's really catchy. I think that's like something that I don't hear a lot with music these days, is it all sort of seems like that's why I think that song Espresso, I know that we mentioned it earlier, has really caught on because it
Yeah.
is catchy.
Yeah.
And like your single is absolutely catchy as well.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to do more. Maybe some visuals as well.
Got to get that in there. Been slacking on the visuals.
Oh, you're busy. You're busy. You're doing the show 8 times a
Yeah.
week. Wait, how often do you go to the gym to be show ready?
I think a lot of it was the pre-prep.
Okay.
I was with some friends last night. from college, and they were talking about how, whether you knew it or not, the last like 2 years you were kind of prepping for being shirtless on stage. Because I kind of went in the zone. One of my friends from high school, Nathan Van Gelderen, he now has a fitness company, Built by Design. So I was very lucky with that because he taught me a lot of stuff. He would take me to the gym all the time, and I fell in love with like what it does for my mind and my confidence and that type of a thing, my health. And I really just like fell into doing it all the time. And at points it would be, when I had time, it would be like 6 days a week, with
Wow.
like an hour and a half of the gym all those days. And now it's probably more towards like 3 or 4 days if I can. And it's a lot, like 45 minutes instead of an hour, but it's like the work that I did ahead of time that all I'm doing now is sustaining the body and not building it, you know?
Totally.
So it is a lot of hard work, but I'm grateful for past Jason for putting in the work so that present Jason can chill a little bit and not worry too much about it.
Yes. Shout out to past Jason. I love that. I love that. Is it true there was more shirtless stuff when it was at La Jolla? But they, can you tell I'm gay? And I'm like, I care about, but I want to know, like, what's going on with the boys? Yeah, because that gave it away that I was gay. But anyway, is it true that it used to be more, let's say, gratuitous?
Yes. Yeah, there was, I think I took my shirt off, Dally took his shirt off, B a bunch of the Sosh's took their shirt off in one scene.
Oh.
Yeah. And then we got, and Donnie was like, "You're the only person I can actually reasonably justify taking his shirt off for this show." So there was the last show in La Jolla during Grease Got a Hold, we all took our shirts off
Oh,
for
fun. Yeah, that's fun.
camaraderie, I guess. But yeah, it was fun.
That's so fun. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're sadly wrapping up on this convo. I know it was a lot of outsider stuff, but can you tell we're obsessed?
Obsessed.
I'm so happy for you, and I'm so happy the show got recognized by the Tonys. It was such an overcrowded year, so you never really know where the nominators are gonna like what they're gonna love and what they're not gonna love. But I feel like you guys really deserved it, so congrats.
Yes.
And
So much.
oh my God, are you excited? Do you think you guys will perform at the Tonys?
I think so. I don't know what
Yeah.
perform, but yeah, I have no idea what it'll be,
I
but
wonder. I know. I wonder if
yeah.
they'll want to like showcase the Rumble
That
or.
would be my first thought, but I really don't know.
I feel like I remember when In the Heights performed, they started with, and this will make sense in a second. They started with like the song that Usnavi sings at the beginning, which I feel like Tulsa 1967 is very similar to when Usnavi comes out and In the Heights and he's like lights up on Washington Heights and introduces all the characters and like the dynamics. I feel like Tulsa 1967
Yeah.
achieves a very similar effect where like you are instantly introduced to the world, you meet the key players here. Like, I don't know, I feel like it's very effective, but I could see you guys doing like a little bit of that and then maybe jumping into the Rumble. But
Yeah, that would be
who can
cool.
say? Who can say?
If you're listening.
If you're listening, whoever makes that decision. Okay, so anyway, we're wrapping up, but we like to end on a dose of drama. This could be something on your mind, a rant, a rave, what you're doing later, what you did last night, could literally be anything. And I'm gonna start because Dua Lipa did drop her new album today, and it's really good.
You've already listened. We start listeners. We recorded this at 10 a.m. So Connor's already listened to the album, and 10 a.m. came around, and he had to
Well,
stop listening.
that's incredible.
I know.
To be fair, three of the songs had come out already, and there's only like 10 on the album, and they're all 3 minutes long.
Not an
So,
ounce of fat on there.
no, no. But she's so good at what she does. It's so good, and there's even some new vocal heights she's reaching. So I'm really proud of her, and I
Well,
feel like it was great. And I'm gonna be listening to it all summer long for sure.
I
For
love
sure.
that.
Yeah. All right, Dylan.
Listen to it on my way to work today.
Are you a Dua guy, Jason?
I wouldn't say I'm like a huge fan, but I'm a fan of good music.
Yeah.
So, and she makes a lot of it. So yeah.
She got of like the pop girls that have released over the last 3 4 months. We've got Taylor, Beyonce, Casey, Dua, Ariana. Who are you loving the most of their new album?
I've always really loved Taylor. I grew up with three older sisters, so
Yeah.
like early Taylor is kind of my shit, you know?
Oh yeah.
I also love Ari. Ari is incredible.
Yeah.
Those two I think have been my faves.
I
Yeah.
love it. I love it.
Love.
Okay, my dose of drama. So the new season of Hacks just came out. Have you ever watched Hacks before? It's on Max, formerly known as HBO, and then HBO Max, and now just Max. But it's amazing. This is their third season. It's like a comedy. I think it's kind of a dark comedy in many ways, but
Yeah.
it's about the entertainment industry, this aging comedian who maybe is past her prime in some ways, kind of has a comeback in ways. It is so good in the third season. I thought, where are they going to go with this third
Because it felt
season?
wrapped
It
at the end of
did.
season two.
And it's great. I feel like they're already in a new direction and it's fantastic. And I just love Jean Smart. She's
She's
so
so
Christopher Vance.
good.
Yeah, it's really great.
I love it.
Jason, do you have a dose of drama to finish out this this wonderful chat?
Yeah, I listened to the to the rat beef last night. I went through and listened to all the diss tracks that they've been putting out, and primarily last night Drake's diss track against Kendrick's diss track against Drake, and they're fun. They're brutal. Oh my gosh.
Is it bad? I heard someone accidentally disses Haley Joel Osment when they're meaning to diss Haley Osteen or Joel Osteen.
Who's, oh really?
Yeah, and they accidentally name dropped Haley Joel Osment, which is just like insane.
Oh, that's funny. I have no idea. I don't know half the references to things in there. Because I know Drake's diss track against Kendrick, he also hits like Metro Boomin and a bunch of other people that I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but it's funny and they're brutal. They're like they're. Really? I mean, I don't know. It's I guess the culture of it, but they're just straight terrible to each other, like saying the meanest things. And I hope everyone's okay, you know?
Yeah.
It's true drama, Jason.
Yeah, that is actual drama. I wonder what, like, they have to face each other at some point. You know, they'll see each other out and about in an event.
I know, they will. And yeah, and they're saying some, you know, terrible things they're going to do to each other when they see each other. So hopefully that doesn't really happen.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I don't think.
You are just the sweetest guy, Jason. Thank you so much for chatting with us. I know that our listeners are going to be gagged when they see your name show up as an episode that we recorded.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was such a good time.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
Where do you want everybody to follow you on social media?
Instagram, jason.s.schmidt. TikTok, same thing. Listen to my music on Spotify.
And what does the S stand for?
Soda pop.
Scott.
Oh, Scott.
it's my dad's name. It's my middle name.
I love it. That's beautiful.
Was Jason Schmidt taken then, or did you just want to have the initial?
I think so. You got to pay him off.
I know.
Tough times.
Anyways, while everyone is following Jason, they should also be looking into getting tickets to The Outsiders. It is the hottest show of the spring. And then they should follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. You're at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again for chatting with us today, Jason. This was really a blast.
Of course. Thank you so much. Appreciate it, y'all.
Of course. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.